سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال الله تعالى: لا لله الدين الخالص. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا سرتك حسنتك وساءتك سيئتك فأنت مؤمن، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم. يا صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وصحابه وبارك وسلم. My most respected ulama, respected elders and dear brothers and our young friends. Every human being in life has priorities. We prioritize ourselves in our businesses. We prioritize our activities at our homes. We have priorities in our social life. We have priorities in different aspects and facets of our life. And every person tries to work towards what he regards to be most important in his life as a priority. For a believer, for a Muslim, for a mu'min, for a reader of Kalima La Ilaha Illallah, there are also certain very critical priorities, important priorities. And there is one priority that supersedes all priorities. And that is a priority that each and every one of us has to regard as a priority. And we have to also develop the ability to ensure that that priority is upheld. And that is none other than the priority of our iman and our faith and our deen and our creed of Islam. This is such a priority, my respected friends, that people of the past, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the scholars of Islam, the pious people, had sacrificed and given their lives for. It is such a priority that even if a person has to give his life to uphold this priority and not to neglect this priority of Iman and Islam and faith, then it is a very cheap price. It is a very easy bargain, if we can put it that way, that a person gives his life but he attains the success and the salvation of the eternal life of the hereafter in the form of success of Iman. My respected friends, this is something which is discussed very regularly. Our brothers and our colleagues in the Jamaat, when they have their regular programs, weekly programs, the number of ulama give bayans and they give talks and reminders, then ultimately the culmination of the subject matter comes down to the importance of Iman and practice upon Iman. So this is a very topical matter, and it is something that should always be at the forefront of our minds. Our akabir, our elders, our pious people, when they used to be asked for dua, or when they used to ask people for dua, one of the very salient and common duas that they used to ask for was that, make dua for my death on Iman. That Allah must take me away from this world on Iman as a priority. Out of all the bounties and all the favors of Allah that we can ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for, the greatest favor and the greatest success and the greatest achievement, fawzul kabir, the highest form of the supreme achievement, is for a person ultimately to terminate his life and breathe his last on the creed of Islam and Iman. My respected friends, if we look at the life cycle of a human being, when a human being comes into this world, when a child is born, the child's very first breath in this world, the child is newly born, the first instruction and the first guidance that is given to the parents and is given to the guardians of the child, is before you even clothe that child, or feed that child, or bath that child, the very first thing that must be done is that The greatness of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the creed of Iman and Islam must be ushered into the ears of that child. Before the child even has a sip of milk also. The first nourishment, the first influence, the first impression that must enter the mind and the heart and the ears and the system of the child must be the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is indicative of that priority. That before anything else, the priority of Iman and the priority of Islam must be entrenched in the heart and the mind of the child. So therefore the adhan is given. The call of Islam, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and the entire adhan, the tasdeeq and the kalima, the testification of witnessing that there is only one Allah, and that goes into one ear, and into the other ear it is then repeated again in the form of the iqamah. The adhan is given in one ear, and the iqamah is given in the other ear, so that the child now has been given this very, very strong beginning. The first influence in this child is the oneness of Allah and the creed of Islam and Iman and Deen. And then, after the child now lives an entire life upon the creed of Iman and Islam, and when this person reaches the point of departure, person is now leaving this world. The very last rites that are performed upon this person also end and terminate upon the oneness of Allah and the creed of Deen. The janazah is now placed. This is the last rites of this person. Person has left this world, he has breathed his last. And the people who will now perform the janazah salah upon this person will perform the salah with the very same creed and with the very same words and with the very same expression that was expressed when this child was born, and that is the four takbirs. The greatness of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the takbir, Allahu Akbar, will be recited on this person. And the dua that will be read on this mayyit will be a dua that is reflective of both, of the mayyit, the one who has departed. But more importantly and very significantly, this is a very subtle point in the salah of janazah, that when we are reading the janazah salah, we are actually making dua for the mayyit. The intention of a janazah salah is that I am performing the salah, I am performing this prayer as a dua for the mayyit. But when we look at the dua, Allahumma ghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, we are saying, oh Allah, forgive the living. Forgive the living. We are reading janazah salah for a person who has passed away. His life has ended, his life has folded. And the indication is that, oh you people who are alive, take lesson from this body that is lying in front of you, from the death of this person, that this person has left the world in a state of iman. His body is brought here to the masjid to be performed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah maghfir li hayyina, oh Allah, you forgive all of us who are alive. We're making dua for ourselves in the presence of this dead body. Wa mayyitina, and all those who have passed away, all our deceased who have passed away from the time immemorial, forgive all of them also. Wa shahidina, forgive those of us who are present here to take this lesson. Wa ghaibina, forgive all those who are absent from this particular event also. Wa dhakarina, and oh Allah, forgive our males. Forgive all our males. Wa unthana, forgive all our females. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-Islam. That oh Allah, whoever you keep alive from us, keep us alive upon the creed of Islam. Wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-Iman. And when the time comes for us to breathe our last to Allah, take us upon the creed of Iman. This lesson, this exercise, this revision is a continuous priority of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to the fore all the time. Our five daily salah and all the other actions and injunctions and obligations of Islam point to this one priority and this one very important aspect of our life, and that is the creed and the deen of Islam. This is something that my dear friend Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, jaddidu imanakum, make tajdeed of your iman, revise it, refresh it, remember it. Consider it as a continuous, ongoing, unending exercise of your life right till the last breath. There can be no room for complacency as far as this priority is concerned. We may delay a transaction, we can delay other work, we can delay a trip, we can delay other things of our life. But when it comes to tajdeed of iman, preservation of iman, upholding of our creed, this priority, my dear friends, cannot be neglected and it cannot be set aside, or there can be no complacency in this regard. So that is one very important aspect for us to remember, because today there are major challenges, ideological challenges, challenges as far as our minds, our mindsets, our thinking, our faith, our ideology that are facing all of us. And the greatest challenge today is on the iman of a person, on the faith of a person, on his belief. The second important thing, my dear friends, is that the preservation of this will take place through the methodology and the method that is shown to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Taraktu fikum amrain. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the way. One is the requirement. A requirement is in place, it's understood. The next thing is, how does that requirement get fulfilled? Taraktu fikum amrain. Two things. Kitabullah wa sunnatu rasul. The kitab of Allah and the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such that it is mentioned, it is akmal, it is ajmal, and it is ashal. Three specialities of the sunnah. That when a person does anything in his life, any aspect of his life, any department of his life, any phase of his life, then these three things will always feature if he adopts the sunnah. One is, it is perfect. He'll do it in the most complete way. The second thing is that it will be ajmal. He will do it in the most beautiful way, in a most enchanting way. It will be the most attractive thing that he will do. And the third thing, it will be ashal. It will be most easy and most practical. If we take the example of nikah. The nikah in Islam is such a simple, easy, and such a easy exercise to undertake and complete. No complications, no difficulties, no complexities. Islam has kept it simple. So the nikah takes place in a masjid. Have the nikah in the masjid and make an alan of the nikah, announce it. Now if we look at it, if the nikah is held in the masjid, then there is no room for any issues, there is no room for any type of foreign developments, elements or aspects to come into the nikah. Because the masjid is a sacred place. It is a sacred presence. And nothing happens here against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if nikah is held in the masjid according to the sunnah, then that nikah will be in its pure form. Whereas if we decide to take the nikah out of the masjid, in contradiction to the sunnah, then we will find complications will come in. Issues will now begin to face us, and therefore from one thing it will lead to another. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us, my dear friends. We find also, as far as ourselves are concerned, we should regard this as a priority. But when it comes to others, what others are doing, another person's actions, another person's wrong, especially his wrong. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, man satara mu'minan satara Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. A person who conceals the wrong of a person, Allah will conceal his wrong. Just reflect, if Allah did not make our concealment, Allah exposed our actions, Allah exposed our wrong deeds, where would we be? What face would we have? What standing would we have in community? Allah has concealed our wrongs. We should also conceal the wrong of another person, my dear friends. What if a person does something publicly and is publicly known as wrong? That is a different matter. But the idea of labeling, denigrating, condemning, deriding, gossiping, publicly taking people, becoming judgmental of people, passing judgment on people, this is not our job. Our job is to protect our own iman, preserve our own faith, look after our own family, our own community, our own concerns. Thereafter, the ulama and the people who are in leadership positions will take care of those people who need to be censored, etc. That is a separate matter. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, it came to his attention that there was a person who was a regular musalli in Masjid al-Nabawi behind him as an imam. And he found that that person was no longer to be seen. He called the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and his friends, and he sat them down and said, I have a concern about this one person. I don't see him anymore. Has anyone got information about him? They said, we understand that he has taken on to alcohol. He's become an alcoholic. Imagine in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in the city of Medina, this has happened. What more sacred and noble prisons? Umar radiallahu ta'ala makes mashura with the sahaba and says, what should we do? He had a consultation. He says, okay, take this piece of paper. He inscribes the ayat of a surah on this particular paper. And he sends it with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, we all make dua now for that person's rehabilitation and his reformation. And they go and give him this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. Allah accepts tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also shadidul iqab. When this person opens this piece of paper from Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he reads it and he sees the verses of Allah speaking to him, this person's heart melts, he makes tawbah and he reforms his life. So there are methodologies, there are ways. There has to be a voice of reason, there has to be understanding, there has to be moderation in what we do. We cannot take a situation and begin to apply our own minds and our own way, and in that way cause more fitna, cause more difficulty, and not only endanger our own iman, but endanger the iman and the faith of many other people in the process. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge, and not only knowledge, but knowledge with understanding and with the correct reasoning, that how we should protect and preserve our own iman, and how we can approach situations with reason, with good reason, with understanding according to the sunnah and the seerah, and in that manner, inshallah, we will become living examples of goodness and of iman for others, and that will become a means of propagation and a means of people being attracted to Islam rather than people becoming distance and dissidents of iman. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.